Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced at the Melbourne Community Support Program and brought to you through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to another program in the award-winning series of Listen to Older Voices. This is a Baby Boomer special featuring a three-part story of the life and times of Anita Monk. Anita has worked extensively over many decades in the Australian music scene, but is probably best known for her devising and developing Rockdown TV. Later in the program, we'll look at both Rockdown TV and Rockdown Radio, but to start, we commence with Anita recalling her early life. Family means a lot to Anita, and she was very close in particular to her brothers and sisters. It was with them that she learned to sing harmonies, a skill supported by a talent that would hold her in good stead in the future. During part one of the story, we'll learn how her father introduced mud trialling in cars to her, but when she discovered how expensive it could be, she dropped right out. For Anita, her early years were among the best times of her life, and things only get better as she forms a number of cover bands before joining the iconic Aussie group Goanna in a support role. I should also mention that Anita has a dog, Colin, who loves to be the centre of attention. And so you'll forgive Colin's interruptions and his crunching on bones. It was, after all, part of our interview. Here I am, talking with Anita. Anita, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. And could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born in 1957 in, I think it was the Box Hill Hospital, it might have been the Mercy. So yes, I'm an Aussie, born in Melbourne.
A Melbourne girl for sure, oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Anita, what would be your earliest memories of life then?
Oh, freedom, love, and sitting around singing with my brothers and sisters.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
One sister and three brothers.
Right.
And Dad was, Dad knew a bit of ukulele. His dad was in the Second World War, so he in the army, and he'd written a song that almost got published. I found it on the internet one day. And so he taught my older brother Michael how to play ukulele, and we all just sat round and sang harmonies to anything we could. Yes.
Right, because I would assume at that period you didn't have television?
Oh, yes, we had a television.
Okay, well,
yes.
I'll come back to that in a second then. You'd mentioned your dad. What sort of person was he?
Oh, he was great. He
in
was
what way?
Fantastic. Oh, he was a lovely, intelligent, lovely father. He was just lovely and cuddly, and my dad loved working. So he wasn't home a lot, you know. He'd make us breakfast in the morning and then he'd go to work, and he'd come home just as Mum had put us all to bed, and she and Dad would have dinner together. So, but on the weekends he'd do wonderful things like take us to the local tip.
Hey, for kids, that's a great adventure.
It was fantastic. We grew up, we were a car family.
Right.
My father was in the Austin 7 car club, so we always had a couple of Austin 7s sitting around in the backyard, and we had an old chassis. When you think about it now, it's very dangerous, but we had an old Austin 7 chassis, which was the chassis, wheels, a brake and the steering wheel, and we'd push it up to the top of the driveway and then we'd give it a push and we'd all jump on a certain part. Somebody had the brake and somebody had the steering wheel, and down the yard we'd go and round and all the way down to the bottom and then back up again. Which I reminded Mum about the other day. She said, "Don't tell me." One of you could have got killed, but we never did.
No, well, obviously not.
Because we learnt trial and error and risk assessment and all those things that you used to have to do in the old days. And none of it. I think my brother had a broken leg once. Yeah, from Scouts playing. What was that football you used to play where you had to go around on your legs and... It was very dangerous. I wanted to play, but we didn't do that in the guides.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
We didn't fall out of trees. We climbed trees. We did everything, but never broken anything.
Yeah. You mentioned your mother. What sort of woman was she?
Dominating.
Right.
Why? Where do I get that from? Very good at delegating. She was very controlling in a good way. Like, she had five kids to look after, so
yep.
You know, we all had to be kept in line, and so she. What can I say about her? We had a very good childhood. So whereas Dad sort of let us do what we wanted to, Mum didn't.
The boundaries.
Yes, Mum had the boundaries. That's exactly right.
Right.
But she still knew we'd all look after each other, and we'd all go running down through. We lived around orchards in Vermont, so we were always out, and she never worried about us because we were always out together.
Yeah.
But you know, bedtime was here, or afternoon nap was there, or dinner time was here, and as we grew older, we started renovating houses. Mum and Dad started buying houses. Well, Dad didn't want to have anything to do with it. So Mum started renovating the houses, which meant that she told us what we had to do and she made lunch.
So Mum was a professional mother. She wasn't out of work.
No, a professional mother.
Right.
She was there to pick us up from school. She didn't take us to school. She picked us up from school. She was the mother staying at home and...
Yeah.
Knew how to keep us all in line by giving us things to do.
Was she a good cook?
Well, you know, meat and three veggies.
Well, that's, which was the way with them, wasn't
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely. It was the way.
Quite
yes.
happy with that, thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that you were out in Vermont. That was really quite open country then, wasn't
yes.
it? It was orchards.
Well, it was where we were. We were on the orchard end. We weren't in the middle of the shopping centre end. So we had a chook farm on one side, apple orchard across the road, a flower orchard on one side, flower farm, and a lemon orchard behind us.
Wow.
So there were about four houses down the end of Morack Road where I lived, and so that was it. Everybody else sort of lived in Vermont proper.
So you were able to roam fairly safely, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
So it was quite different then to today, wasn't it? I mean, you really did feel, you never thought about not being safe.
No.
It was just a given.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Was it just you and your brothers and sisters, or did you have a gang of friends?
No, just brothers and sisters.
Right.
And interestingly, I've thought about this. Back in our day, we had friends. Like, I had my school friends.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just school friends. They weren't my hub. They weren't my life. My life was my family. So I always had friends, but they weren't the important thing. The family was important when you were a child back then,
right.
I think.
What was the age difference between the oldest and youngest? So we can get
we're all 2 years difference.
Oh, that's
two years apart.
Right.
So pretty close. Yeah.
That does help make it close, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned just briefly school. What was your school experience like in primary school? Was that good?
Oh, wonderful. Well, we didn't go to Vermont. My mother didn't want us to go to Vermont State School because it was in the middle of the shopping centre, and there was, I don't even know if they had any grass there. I think that might have been a little oval. So we went to Wantirna.
Right.
And that was miles away from me. I mean, there was probably two houses on the street that Wantirna State School was on, and Wantirna State School had trees for climbing.
Wow.
And lots and lots of, it was just a country. I think when I went there, I think there were 100 students. And mostly of the farmers and the orchard growers and everything around there. So we're all pretty naive and young and fun. Yeah.
Almost a rural type school, yet in a sort of semi-suburban setting.
Yeah,
it's pretty unusual.
Yeah.
What other things did you do for entertainment as a young girl? I mean, what did you get up to?
Played with my brothers and sisters, went to the tip and sang with the ukulele. Dad had an old reel-to-reel.
Oh, recorder, yes.
Yes, recorder. So we'd sit around and record. We loved music. Dad loved the Goons. We'd sit around and we loved Peter, Paul and Mary.
Oh, okay.
So we learned all the Peter, Paul and Mary songs, and then we'd all sit around and Michael would play ukulele and we'd all intertwine harmonies with each other. And we also did the same to Christmas carols. We loved Christmas carols. And... somebody said to Mum once, you should put your children on the stage, but we were all too young. You know, we were just kids, and we just loved singing.
Sure.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Anita Monk. And Anita is recalling early events from her life.
So what else did we do? Mum bought a house up at Malden.
Yes.
In the mid-60s, which was just a very old, built in 1855 house. And we renovated it. The children renovated our meals. I remember one particular time, and we were just young. I mean, I think of maybe 10 or 12 or something like that. And Mum said we had the ceilings, like the Dutch ceilings, mm-hmm. in one of the rooms. And my older brother used to sleep in that room. And one day we came out and there was a big piece of plaster in the middle of his bed, and he didn't come up that weekend. So Mum said, right, okay, it's time to pull in the roof. We need to re-ceiling this room. Okay, kids, pull down the ceiling and I'll make dinner. So we all went in there and we had hockey sticks.
Oh.
And we had to work these things out ourselves, right? And it was lath and plaster. So what we did was we'd get a seat, a stool or a chair. We'd put the bucket on our head. We stood on the seat. We hooked the hockey stick around the lath and plaster and pull and wait till we're all going rushing down on our heads. Yeah, so after we pulled down the ceiling, Mum got somebody in to re-sealing it, but re-plaster,
yeah.
We got some wood from an old church somewhere that they'd pulled down, so it was old.
Oh, okay.
And then we would, on Easter weekend at Malden, we made some clothes and dressed up like we were back in the 80s. And people came through our house, so we would, because my mother also collected old, not antiques, but Australiana furniture. So the house was done up as it was back in the old days, because it had never been touched.
Wow.
So we would dress up and we'd take 10 cents from people and they'd come through.
Oh,
and
how fantastic.
So we'd get up in the morning, we'd make our beds, and we'd put a piece of cord across the door, and then we'd say, this is where we sleep, and this is, you know, and yeah. The only new thing in the house was a toilet.
Wow.
And the rest of it was all just, you
period.
Know. Period. Yeah, all period.
I don't suppose Mum or Dad ever took any photos, did they?
Oh, some.
Because that sounds like it would be just such a wonderful family memory.
Oh, it was. We did wonderful things when we had a wonderful childhood. It was really good.
It sounds like it was a very inclusive in terms of the family doing lots of things together.
Lots of things together. And then my father got his way because my father was into cars. So he built Monk Specials, they were called. So I think it was six or something. So wow. He got us all into mud trials and motor carners.
Right.
So when we weren't going up and renovating houses, we'd go to Northland and screech around car parks, you know, and little
goodness
things.
Me. Yeah.
Or out in the middle of somewhere out Coldstream or somewhere where somebody had a property that we had to drive through dams and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
So we're talking, you're getting more into your teenage years now?
Yes, more teenage
years,
yeah.
So now you go from primary school to high school. Is that experience as good as the primary?
Yeah, fine.
Yep.
Went to Vermont High School, which was just up the road from us. We were on Warwick Road. And that was a fantastic school. Really great. Great music program. So we had a high school orchestra. I tried to play violin. Orchestra wasn't very good with me playing violin. Yeah, that was very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what age did you leave school?
About 17.
17.
Yeah.
To do what?
All I knew was that I wanted to work and earn my own money. Because what happened with me was my father, one day I was doing mud trials and I think I broke an axle or something in the car. And I had a job, I just started a job, and I saw Dad shell out money out of his pocket for a new axle for the car, and that was my weekly wage. I said, I wrecked the axle and it's going to cost that. I had no idea how much cars cost.
Of course not.
And so I said, no, you're not paying for me for anything anymore. I'm just going to keep working and I don't want to do mud trials or motor carners because it's too expensive. I can't afford that sort of thing.
Sure.
So I just knew that I wanted to go and work and earn my own money and move out of home and be self-sufficient.
Yeah. So we're in the early 1970s now, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So you leave home.
Yep.
Do you go into a shared house or do you find your
shared house? Didn't work very well. Came home for about a month and then went to another one. My parents owned a couple of houses in Richmond, so I moved into a house in Richmond.
Right.
The great thing about working in the early 70s was that I worked in the city. I had a job in the city. I don't realise until now that I was in the middle of the best time in the world, you know. And I was in the Royal Arcade, so it was just fantastic.
Beautiful, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Through the 60s and I think into the 70s, and this is where you could correct me, there were lots of live music venues that often had things happening, lunchtimes and things like this.
You're getting to an area that I had really nothing to do with.
Even though you had such a love for music.
Yes, because my mother was very strict in the way that you didn't do something that she wouldn't think was very good.
Right.
Approval, yeah. Yeah. And when I was 17, I started going out with a musician. We'd moved to Blackburn by this stage, and there were a lot of musicians living around the area, just young people my age. I was going to Tintern at this stage. They were going to Scotch and, you know, there was a lot of private school kids. And they had the money to buy instruments, and they had bands. But they were also into drugs, which I wasn't really into, but I just liked being around people who liked music because I'd always been music. I learned piano for 7 years, you know. I'd sort of come, my family's musical. And so they were going around supporting all these bands in the early 70s. And I just looked and thought, there's going to be drugs. There's going to be groupies. I don't want to be anywhere near all that sort of stuff. My mother would die if she knew that I was going to these places. I did go to a few. I went and saw Daddy Cool at, Opus. Yes. But I don't think it was Opus by then, and I remember seeing a few bands. Not a lot. I just didn't like the scene. But I went to discos instead because discos were clean, you know. So that's where I spent. So I saw a few bands, but I didn't see very many at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're working. What are you doing at that stage? Because at that age, the world's your oyster, you know, in your teenage,
absolutely,
especially your late teens, and you're now a little bit more independent and everything.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to please yourself then? If you're not really going out to dances per se, yeah, you're not going to a few discos, what are you doing with your life?
Just working and going to discos. And what happened with me was, because I didn't know what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, all I knew was that I wanted to get some money together and I wanted to move out of home. And then one day, I can't remember what the situation was, but I had to get up and make a speech. And I was very shy, believe it or not, very shy. And I had to get up and make a speech to somebody, to a group of people. It's just a small group of people. And I remember standing on a chair, which was bad enough, and making a small speech about whatever it was. And I made a joke and everybody laughed. And I thought, oh, my God. What a great feeling to be able to make people happy. I'm one of these very lucky people. I've never been down in my life. I've never been depressed. I've just forge on ahead and do this and do that. And I saw that people weren't happy, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to make people happy? So the first thing I did when I was 20, went up to my mother and I said, I want to be an entertainer. And she said, Anita, look at you. You can't even look me in the eye. She said, you what? I said, I want to be an entertainer. I want to make people happy. And she said, well, I can't see you doing that, Anita. Anyway, I went out and I found this little place in South Melbourne called Australian College of Entertainers, which was not government run. You had to pay and you had to work hard at it. So I went along there and I enrolled for a jazz ballet presentation, singing, drama, whatever I could.
Yep.
Left my day job, went and worked as a barmaid and just went to college during the day and did what I could afford for about 3 years until I learnt confidence, which is the main word. And during this time, I got an agent and I started going out doing extra work and acting.
Oh, okay.
And that was really great. I really enjoyed it. I did that for quite a few years.
When you say acting, live theatre?
No, television.
Television?
Film, television, ads, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Colin, that's very loud, but at least he's not jumping on anybody. Colin chewing on our bone.
Yes, for those listening, we have Colin. That's Anita's dog, who's having a wonderful time with a bone on the floor. But given that Colin's very excitable, we're happy with him just chewing. There, you're in on it.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
So would for people listening, were you in something that they might remember or recognise?
Oh, just, you know, I did lots of extra work on the Sullivans. I had a couple of speaking roles on the Sullivans, had a speaking role on the Young Doctors. Every film and television that was around in the early 80s, I did lots and lots and lots of work. But also during that time, I just kept doing that. And that was my life for a long time, just doing television work. And then one day, I started going out and seeing bands again. And you're making me recall all these things. I started going out and seeing bands with a girlfriend. And at this stage, I had a dress shop in Hawthorne.
Your own dress shop?
That I hated, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a salesperson.
Then what made you get into that?
Well, my auntie had a dress shop. It was an Indian shop. Round about the time, you remember Handicrafts of Asia, when that was big?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Well, she had a shop in Hawthorne in Glenfrey Road, and she got out of it. And my sister and I used to work part-time for her. So we said, let's move the shop down into the middle of the shopping centre and start it out on our own.
Not a good decision?
No, not at all. But I had a girlfriend who had another shop, same in the next suburb, We started hanging out together and she said, do you want to go and see some bands? And I said, yeah, that sounds good. May as well go and see some bands. So when would this have been? Early 80s? So we started going out and I found nobody I liked. It was just, no. And then one day she said, you've got to come out and see this band, Goanna Band. And I said, oh, is it just like all the other bands? I'm not mentioning any names here because I don't want to upset anybody. And she said, no, they're really great. So I went and saw them, fell in love with the band. And I just thought, this band is just the most awesome thing. I want to be a part of this. So I hung around and started going out with the bass player. And then they had Goanna Manor at this stage in St Kilda, which was a big old house. And everybody used to hang out there and they did all their own artwork and they did all their own printing and they did everything was in this place. Well, that was perfect for me. I'm a hands-on person. And they were renovating and all that. Just, I was right up my alley.
Oh, yeah, taking you back to your early childhood.
Exactly. So one day I went into the shop and I said, Janet, I'm leaving. Goodbye. I don't want any more of this. I cannot stand it. I'm going to go and work for Goanna Band.
Leave it on, borrow time.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.